You're listening to A-State Connections on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves. This is the monthly interview with Arkansas State University Chancellor Dr. Kelly Damphous as he provides an update on what's going on at A-State during the second Saturday interview.
Lots of things happening. You know, we're in the full swing of things. Midterms are starting to come up here and before too long. We have a great today, and so we're filming this or we're recording this on Thursday, and so today we have a great panel on our campus. We are participating in a thing called Artificial Intelligence Campus for the state of Arkansas, and it's really hosted by someone you know very well, Xu Jin, who is trying to get people around the state of Arkansas to think more about how artificial intelligence will change our lives and how we can be on the forefront of that instead of being on the tail end of that. And so we have a huge program going on at the Cooper Alumni Center right now with people from across the state coming and talking about how to do artificial intelligence and how to do research in that area and how to expand that. We're completely surrounded by artificial intelligence without even knowing it right now. Our phones are artificially intelligent. Our cars are that way. And the future is bright. And we're at Arkansas State. We are right on the forefront of that research. And Xu Jin's work in that area is just fascinating. So I just left there. It was pretty exciting. And so there's lots of really great things going on. Probably the biggest thing right now is we are now entering into the really hard work phase of the strategic plan. We spent a lot of time kind of coming up with five general goals that we want to accomplish as a university. And now the hard part is like getting more specific, like what do we mean by that? So when we say, you know, student success is one of our first goal that we discuss. But what do we mean by creating opportunities for student success? Does that mean more study abroad opportunities, or do we not focus on study abroad? So those kind of conversations are starting to percolate now. We had a meeting with community leaders a couple weeks ago. We have meetings being set up with faculty, staff, and students, and with alumni. So we have four kind of general forums coming up, these town halls. And in those settings, we will ask those constituent groups to say, how should we fill in the blanks here? Now that we've created the blanks, how do we fill in the blanks? Just another example, we have one of our general goals is to rethink what general education means. And so when we say, let's rethink that, what does that mean to rethink that? Or do we just leave it the way it is? And so that's a conversation the faculty can only have. It shouldn't come from me. It should come from the faculty. So that's what we're about right now. So there's just a couple of big things that are happening on campus right now.
It seems like there's a lot of redefining that'll go into this.
There is. In fact, you know, my word for the year is imagine.
And right.
So I selected it specifically about this process of imagining what our future will look like and the shared future that we have together. So we're really refining what we're doing. Maybe there's something we're doing that we shouldn't be doing anymore. You know, something that was a great idea 20 or 30 years ago may not be the best idea now. Maybe there's things that we should be doing that we're not doing. Mm-hmm. Or maybe there's things that we are doing but we could do more of. And so that's kind of where we are right now.
So I know obviously research is a huge component of whatever the future is because of the designation and all that. You know, with Arkansas State having the Arkansas Biosciences Institute here on campus and also with the artificial intelligence research that Dr. Xu Jin Wong and others have been involved in and that, let's talk about that. How important is it to be able to have Arkansas State involved in I guess I'll make this a two-part question. One, in the artificial intelligence along with the Arkansas Research Alliance, and then also part of the Arkansas Biosciences Institute.
Well, you know, I'll start with the ABI.
Sure.
Having the ABI come to our campus was kind of an accident of history with the tobacco settlement. Some states took the tobacco settlement money and just folded into their general budget. And the state of Arkansas actually said, let's create centers of research areas or expertise that will help us deal with and mitigate against the effects of tobacco. And so we were the lucky recipients of the ABI building and some infrastructure associated with that. ARA plays a minor role in that as well, the Arkansas Research Alliance. But that brought serious, significant science, high science researchers onto our campus and started to change, I think, kind of the tenor of our campus from a faculty perspective about thinking, well, if they're doing it at ABI, can we do it over here in my area of the university?
Right.
And we already had researchers here, and I would never want to be dismissive about what was going on before ABI, but ABI really stimulated us as a faculty to think about what would it take to become known as a research university and so on. So that begs the question, why do you care if you're a research university? Well, being a research university allows us to attract faculty that might not come here otherwise, and that allows us to attract really strong faculty. It also allows us to have our students being taught by people who are creating knowledge. And this also allows our students, both undergraduate and graduate students, to be involved in the creation of new knowledge. And so that's what research universities do. If you think about the advancements we have, just, again, think about artificial intelligence. All those advancements are taking place, for the most part, in university settings.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are happening in private settings, but it's very expensive for a company to invest in a research and development wing. It's easier for them to invest in universities that are doing the research. And so we can participate in that new knowledge economy by engaging in the research enterprise. And if we decide to do artificial intelligence, and that's one of the areas we're looking into, then we can be on the forefront of leading that change and how we interact with the world around us. And that allows us to attract different students coming here and different faculty and so on. So it all starts to build on each other to change the way the university looks. Now, I mentioned artificial intelligence, and it's easy to get kind of caught up into what we call the STEM disciplines, science,
right,
technology, engineering, and mathematics. But you know me, I'm an old arts and sciences dean. I'm a social scientist myself, and I'm very fond of the humanities, not just in a parochial way. I just think the humanities are really important. So we need to think about not just hard science research and technology and engineering, but also about creative activities and the humanities and so on. Because I say this all the time, the humanities are what makes us human. And so how can we strengthen our, let's go back to the general education portfolio, how can we strengthen our general education offerings, but also strengthen our creative activities with our humanities and social sciences,
mm-hmm,
and balance that with the sciences that are needed as well. And so that's what makes this year so fascinating, as we try to figure out a way to bring all of those together. Now, I love these kind of conversations because, again, I was a dean of arts and sciences, and so trying to merge those things together was something I've been doing seems like my whole adult career.
Right.
And I love the fact that it's actually pretty easy to meld the arts and the sciences together.
Dr. Kelly Danfus joins us here on A-State Connections on KASU. You know, one thing that's been really exciting as we've been going through the football season, a lot of people have been watching how the new hotel and convention center is getting closer to completion. That thing is just almost ready to roll. Your thoughts on that?
It's tantalizingly close. And so it is basically done on the outside, although I did drive by it yesterday and noticed that there were a few windows on the west side that were still not in yet. I think they may have had to replace a couple of windows there. It is now coming down to just the finishing touches. And if you've ever done a home improvement project in your house, I've done a lot of those things. It's a lot of fun to go in there and, you know, break things down and tear things up and put up some drywall and, you know, start painting. It's the finishing touches that always leave me like, I just never get things done.
You know, right.
Putting the trim around the baseboard and cleaning up the paint that got on the window. That's kind of stuff I'm really bad at, like finishing things off. And that's where we are now, kind of finishing up some of those small touches at the end. And our problem right now, in the past, our problem had been rain. So rain delayed our construction progress for a long time.
Yeah.
Now we're all closed in, and now the problem is just not having enough people available to do some of the work that needs to get finished. It's just, you know, we have really low unemployment rates right now, and so just hiring enough people to get all the work done. So it's just taking some time to finish that stuff off. They're a little delayed. You know, we thought we'd be open already, and now it's going to be, you know, within a couple months, I think we'll finally finish this off. Some parts of it are done, other parts are not done, and so we'll see how that goes. I'm really proud of Craig Pomerenke, who's the general manager over there. He's working really hard. spinning up. I'm sure he's burning a candle on both ends trying to get everything done. He's hiring a lot of staff.
Right.
We've had some career days for them where because they're going to hire a lot of people here. There'll be a huge economic boon for Northeast Arkansas, for Jonesboro in particular. And so I'm looking forward, and I know he's looking forward to getting just this thing off the road.
Yeah, and the economic impact, I know, once it does open, is going to be good, not just for that hotel, other hotels in the region all over there, because you're talking about all the conferences and other things that will be able to come in.
Yeah, the convention center will attract bigger crowds than the hotel can handle, so that means there will be a halo effect that other hotels will have to manage some of the overflow of the needs for hotel beds. And so once we get up and running, and by the way, that's been a hot commodity. There's a lot of people. In fact, we've had to reschedule some things because we weren't quite ready yet. But a lot of people want to come and have their conventions here and have their conferences here. And so once that starts happening, you'll start to see a huge boon. And it's not just in hotel rooms, but also in restaurants and clubs and so on around town, where people who are coming here for 3 or 4 days may want to venture off campus and go, take in a meal at a local restaurant and so on. So there's a huge economic boon for the whole city here. It's not just for Arkansas State.
And we also know that next week is homecoming.
Yes.
On the campus, so that's always a fun time to be able to bring a lot of people in for homecoming on the 19th.
What's really exciting about homecoming is that, in America, homecoming is a lot bigger deal than it was in Canada. And mostly it's because of football. Now, I feel sorry for some schools that don't have a football program because there's no reason to go back in the fall without a game to kind of center yourself on. In some schools that don't have a football team, their homecoming is in the spring, which seems kind of off-putting to me, but they do it in spring around a basketball game.
Sure.
Homecoming makes me think of football. It makes me think of cooler weather. It makes me think of bonfires and parades and all kinds of fun stuff. But the most important thing is bringing back our alumni and having them get excited about coming back on the campus and seeing the changes. Every year we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the class, and so we'll be doing the 1969 class, which would be exciting to have those folks back here. And even those who are not members of class of 1969, will all the alumni who come back are almost always amazed by how much the place has changed. Just to think about, and I wasn't here when this happened, but when Caraway Road used to go right through campus and Aggie Road went through campus, when the decision was made to close those off, it changed the campus tremendously. And so when our alumni come back, they're always amazed by that and the beauty of the campus. I hope that they get a chance to see some of the other things than just not the construction of the buildings around campus, but the most prized possessions we have is the people who work here and the people who are being educated here. And I'm always amazed by the high quality of both those categories of folks. Just for example, I think that people would be very surprised to know how many international students we have here taking classes. Somewhere around 10% of our undergraduate student body are from another country. That just didn't happen 50 years ago, 20 years ago even. It's a relatively new phenomenon, but we're blessed by having that. Can you imagine? I had a group of students over. I have this new thing called Coffee with Kelly.
Yeah.
And I invite faculty and staff and students and groups to come just have coffee with me and 10 people. And the other day we had students over, and one of the young students was from a Middle Eastern country. And I said, how great is it that we can be sitting here and the people, most of the students were from a small town in Arkansas or somewhere around here, but they got to sit in right next to someone who grew up in the Middle East and think about how she can influence us while we're influencing her. And that's one of the beautiful things about Arkansas State University, that the diversity of our student body is incredible.
Very good. And once again, that'll be on the 26th. That'll be taking place.
Yes.
And that's going to be a big day on the 26th. Some people have been wondering about, will there be a pink out here pretty soon for Wendy Anderson to remember Wendy? Have you heard about whether that's going to take place here on the campus, like what happened in Georgia?
Sure. So, yeah, there's a lot of, we sure appreciate how much people have really kind of rallied around Coach Anderson. And we're really taking our cue off of him. I think at some point, this can become emotionally draining for someone in his situation. He shows no symptoms of that. He and I and my wife talked with, we all chatted yesterday, and you know, this continues to be a new normal for him, trying to learn how to do it, do this without Wendy. We are going to have an event with that is a partnership with one of our bowl partners, the Cure Bowl. They're going to come onto campus on that day, and it will not necessarily be a pink out. In fact, Coach has requested that the team be in black and the fans come in black, because it'll be a night game and it's always exciting to wear black. We are really taking our cue from him, and that's his preference for that game is those colors. And so that said, if someone wants to wear pink or someone wants to recognize Wendy in some way, I would never stand in the way of that. So there's no mandate against wearing pink, of course.
Right.
And, the Georgia thing was not organized by the university. It was organized by the fans. Independently, sure. They kind of came up with this. And so I think we're trying to be respectful as much as possible and be as supportive as we can. I tell people this all the time. If you want to support Coach, the way to do that is to come to the games and support him by being there. I was really impressed by how many fans came out to the game, the first game that he coached when he came back, first home game he coached. We had more people there for that game than we had for the first game of the season. And I know that many of them were there to support Coach, and that's how we can continue to support him, is by coming out and supporting him and his guys and his coaches by being at the game itself.
Very good. And not only that, but all the other, there's a lot of other athletic activities that are taking place. Not just football. It's busy all across. Yeah. I know that you see a lot of that as you're going all around.
Yeah, fall sports are kicking off.
Yeah.
Track is doing some stuff. Women's and men's golf are now competing. Golf is kind of tough because they travel so much. When they travel, they're gone for like 2 or 3 days at a time.
Right.
What's interesting, golf can't compete very well on Saturdays and Sundays, because golf courses don't really want them on there. So they tend to compete like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And so it's a little harder to get to go watch those. But once a year, I usually go and try to take a day off and go follow them around. It's kind of a fun sport to watch. Soccer is doing fantastically well. And their season is reaching almost the midpoint now.
Yeah.
And then volleyball's kicked off. And so, is not kicked off, but really the season, the conference season has kicked off, and they were 9-3 going into the conference play, and I got really excited about that, and so I went down to watch them, because the football game was in Troy. So I drove down the day early, took a day off, and drove down to Troy and watched them play in the volleyball team play in Troy on Thursday night, and they lost. And then I drove down to South Alabama to watch the volleyball team play on Friday night, and they lost. I don't think Coach Santiago is going to allow me to go to any more road games for volleyball. But it is fun seeing all that happen. Of course, our club softball team and rugby team are also doing very well as well. Women's softball won the national championship just as recently as 2017.
Right.
And rugby is always in it as well. So it's our NCAA sports, but also our club sports. We just kicked off the esports program, which is really exciting. So we got lots of students involved with that. In fact, the first Friday video yesterday kind of highlighted our esports programs. That's really exciting as well.
That's Dr. Kelly Damphus, and for A-State Connections, I'm Jonathan Reeves.